Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. And I am a commodities broker here at StoneX. We deal in the ag markets and energies and all commodity markets, whether it be interest rates, fertilizers. We do futures and options. We are in the OTC and structured product markets. I also do consulting for farmers and our end users, commercial clients like food and beverage. And yeah, anything that's to do with the ag markets, I specialize in all those products. And a lot of my team members are part, also specialize in the different commodity markets too here at StoneX. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know. My number is 312-706-7610. You can also reach me at craig.turner@stonex.com. If you like the podcast, please go to iTunes, give us a 5-star review. I would love that. And you can also go check out the newsletter at www.turnerstake.com. So it's been a busy couple of weeks, needless to say. I was actually just down in New Orleans for Commodity Classic, and that was great. I haven't been down there since before the pandemic. So real nice to get to that show. I think 2 years ago it was canceled. Last year we had it online. So it was good. And the attendance was good too. It was a little bit lower than years past, but not much. I mean, I would say it was like at 80, 90% of attendees than it had been in years past. So I was pretty impressed with that, especially since the restrictions, you know, the travel restrictions and some of the mask mandate restrictions and stuff like that really didn't end through, you know, the majority of the United States and up in, you know, the past couple of months. So I'll also be traveling a little bit more in March this week and next. I'll be in Canada, but then after that, I'm back in the office for months here. But March is just a busy month. Just kind of happened that way. You know what happened was travel restrictions from like the corporate perspective also got lifted. So I've noticed there's a lot of travel going on here over the next month or so, like trips that have been building for a while, and now everyone's kind of getting out of the office and making up for lost time. So that's just the way it is, right in the smack dab of some pretty crazy markets. But let's get into it. You know, from the macro side, I'll touch on interest rates real quick. CPI was up again, and it just doesn't look like the inflation's going to stop anytime soon, and no one even really seems to care what the Fed's going to say. So we'll see how that goes, but you know, inflation was like 7.5%, and then if you take out food and energy, it was still around 6.5% for February CPI. So that'd be compared to February this year over February last year. Not great. Don't know how that's going to slow down at the moment. Well, I guess energy and grains can't go up forever, so I guess that'll help out a little bit. But because I do think we're going to consolidate here for a little bit, and I'll touch on that in a minute. The other big macro news is Ukraine and Russia. That keeps on raging on. It does look like, though, that the Black Sea is opening up for Russian exports. Now, it's slow, and you know, the quantities they're able to get out of the Black Sea are nothing like it was before. But it is opening up, and I think there will be grain that, you know, basically what's going to happen, it will be able to get out of Russia and Ukraine to some extent, and it'll just be at a slower pace, a lower quantity, and a higher cost. I did hear that Spain was looking to import corn, I think, from Argentina and the United States, which would probably be some kind of emergency measure on their part, especially the United States and the whole GMO issue. And then, you know, Argentina did temporarily ban exports of meal and oil, but that's pretty routine when they're about to increase export taxes on their farmers in Argentina. So they're at 31% export tax right now, which is just high, and I think they raised to 33. So, you know, when they decide these things, let's say over the weekend, we come in Sunday night, Argentina bans all exports, you know, so no one rushes to the gate there to sell. 2 days later, boom, import taxes increased, and then everyone can sell their grain again, grain and oil seed, or in this case, meal and oil, if it's out of Argentina. But yeah, I don't think it doesn't make anyone happy, but that's the way it is if you're a farmer in Argentina. As far as the grain markets go here, it's going to be tight. We're going to have tight stocks this year, most likely tight stocks next year. I just want to touch on a couple of things. One, if you are a farmer, we are rolling out our Farm Advantage app. It is, we kind of rolled it out for Commodity Classic. It had a soft launch, you know, about a month or so ago. And if you are a StoneX client here, you can download Farm Advantage right from your app store, no matter what phone you're on. And if you have a StoneX ID and password, you can bring up your account. All our market research, you know, quotes, you can get weather. I think it's BAM weather. You put in your zip code, you know, all the cash bids at the local elevators, even, you know, click on the number and call them right for your phone. So it's very cool. Even if you're not a a client at StoneX, you can still download that that application. It's free. I mean, obviously, you wouldn't have an account here, but you have access to all the other information on there, except for maybe some of the premium research. But everything else there would be available to you. It was a big hit. When I was at Commodity Classic this week or this past week, I mean, in our section, because if you've ever been there, it's huge. But in our section, from where you can see versus all the other booths, it was the most popular product down there. So I would check it out, and yeah, let me know what you think. Especially if you're a client, it's really a pretty good tool. And I think towards the end of the year, they're going to add trading on there too. So that we even had some IBs that people would certainly hear about that clear other places that came over and looked at the place and looked at the app and asked about, you know, using Stone as a clearing firm, which, you know, which I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast would recognize the names. So anyways, it was very interesting. Guys should check that out. As far as the grain markets go, so right now all the headlines are part of Ukraine and Russia. That's subsiding, right? And, you know, while the markets deserve to be high, I don't know much higher we can go. I mean, if you take a look at wheat and you take a look at crude oil, you know, the reason why we had those huge outside gains was just a massive amount of short covering. It usually has to do with a lot of short call options. You know, that really sends the market much higher than it deserves to be. And then it comes back down to a range where it consolidates. So crude is probably $100. I mean, that was the targets before Ukraine. Then the big short covering came and we're coming down to around 100, like 90 to 110. You know, that could be the new range for crude. That's what I'm kind of looking for here going forward in the spot months. Same thing with wheat. You know, wheat went probably a dollar or two too high. But, you know, if corn's going to be $7, you know, and corn's tight and wheat's tight, then should wheat be around 10? You can make the argument, you know, if you have, you know, $7 corn, you have $10 wheat, and then you have, you know, beans in the teens, like $15, $16. On the price ratios, you know, the price relationships, that it kind of works. You know, wheat tends to trade at a 50% premium, you know, give or take, you know, to corn, you know, in a normal, when both markets are, you know, have the same kind of tightness in stock to usage. Soybeans can be 2.3, 2.4, 2.5 over corn. So, you know, if we're a $7 corn times 2.3, that's $16. So we're in the neighborhood. You know, we're in the neighborhood of where these markets may be priced, and they may look high, but when everything's high and they're all tight, you know, this is where you would think they would typically trade. And then you take a look at the new crop acres. And, you know, after talking to a lot of farmers at Commodity Classic, what's always nice to go down there too is you get, American Soybean Association, you get the National Corn Growers, you get the National Wheat Board down there, and you get to talk to a lot of these guys, farmers, and, you know, the USEC people, I got to speak to them for a long time. You know, you just kind of realize that demand is out there, whether it be domestic or international. And two, my biggest takeaways were acreage, that where, you know, you just can't expand acreage in the United States. Now you can expand acreage in South America. I mean, one of my big takeaways is, you know, South America can keep on expanding acreage for as long as they need to. Now it takes a couple of years to get that ground into production as they're taking away rainforest for it down there, but they can keep on doing it as demand. It just takes a couple of seasons to get there. In the United States, it's very difficult to get over, let's say, 180 million acres combined, you know, of corn and soybeans, or 181. You take a look at some of these charts with where farmland's been and CRP, you know, where the trend is actually less farmland over the years, you know, instead of more. So I don't know how we get more than 180, maybe max 181 acres of corn and soybeans, which means, you know, 92 million acres corn, 88 million acres soybeans, trend line yields, we use as much as we consume, and we're going to be tight again. And that doesn't even bring up wheat, right? You know, what's going to happen with spring wheat? What's going to happen? Oh, it's going to have rice. Just seems like to me, the United States can be able to produce with a trend line yield basically as much as we consume. We're not going to change the tightness of the stock levels this year unless we get some record crops. And really, the United States is going to be dependent on the rest of the world of expanding acres and having good crops to get balance sheets to a more adequate level, which is certainly possible. But we had weather issues in South America. Now we have the issue. Ukraine's going to be below trend and acres, most likely. I mean, they're supposed to plant in a couple of weeks. I don't know how that's going to happen. And if it does happen, you know, fuel, feed, and also labor. Who's going to work these, you know, fields in Ukraine? So I'm not saying they're not going to have a crop. It's just not going to be what we penciled in 6 months ago or, you know, expectations were. And in South America can expand acres, but that's going to take some time. Also, now I know the headlines have been all about Ukraine and Russia, but, you know, in the next couple of weeks here, we got to start focusing on weather for a new crop. I mean, if the Ukraine-Russia war wasn't going on, that'd probably be dominating the conversation right now. I mean, we have drought in the Western Corn Belt, northern, you know, in the U.S. Northern Plains. There's drought there too. We have drought in the Canadian Plains. South America clearly has weather issues, but they're finishing up a crop there. You know, we'll be much more importance will be paid attention to weather in Europe, weather in China. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, the Western belt of the United States, Northern Plains of the United States, and the prairies of Canada, you know, aren't all that great. It's not, you know, it's not suggesting record yields. You know, I mean, I'm not saying we're not going to have a crop. I'm sure we'll have a crop, but it's not suggesting record yields. It's really what we need to alleviate prices here at this point. So, yeah, there's going to be some concern for canola and spring wheat in Canada. There's going to be concern for winter wheat, spring wheat, corn and soybeans in the United States. That's going to bleed into oats. That's going to bleed into cotton. That's going to bleed into rice. I don't know. I mean, I was talking to some farmers from Arkansas this week. They think rice acres are going to be down just because they look at the price of soybeans and they're like, well, you know, I should be planting soybeans. I get it. Going to be interesting to see what happens with cotton acres here. So all the markets, and it's where prices are, it's hard for any one market to really steal acres from another. I mean, and it's not just the back of a napkin calculation. You have to have the equipment and, you know, the know-how. There's a whole lot of other things that go into switching crops. But, you know, if we were just looking from the economist viewpoint, it's even harder to – it's hard to make a real big call on that too. I will say this. If fertilizer is hard to come by or input costs are too high, if there was going to be one surprise at this March planting intentions report, wouldn't be surprised if we saw more beans than corn. You know, other farmers, saw some pretty big farmers this year and people on those boards, and they still think, you know, if it's good weather and you get those planters going, they'll still plant more corn. I get it. That's been the case for a long time. And I can only remember one year where we had just as many soybean acres as corn. But you never know. We have some strange times, and just with the price relationships, the inputs, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit more soybeans than corn than the market was expecting. So, and finally on crude oil, I'm just gonna bring up a chart here with crude. So, man, it has just been so volatile. It's almost like you didn't wanna, if you're gonna get into the energy game, you know, to the upside here in this big pullback, I still like buying call spreads. That's, you know, out of the money that you can use. I mean, if you wanna take on a little bit more risk, maybe you can sell some, you know, put spreads to help finance. But just remember, you know, crude's a big contract. There's also micro contracts of crude now. You don't have to buy 1,000 barrels. You can do 100 barrels of crude, which, by the way, 100 barrels of crude at, you know, $100, you know, a barrel is still, what, a $10,000 contract. You know, that's, you know, well, and just so you know, when you've played a, if you're trading 1,000 barrels of crude at $100, I mean, it's a $100,000 contract, which is why the margins are so high. But you know, total contract value, take the number of barrels times the price, and that's what it is. Think about like corn. You know, if it's 5,000 bushels of corn, corn's trading $6, that's a $30,000 worth of corn. So they only need like 2,000 in margin, but just kind of think of how big that contract is, right? So, and that's that. Natural gas, we'll see what happens there. It seems to be, you know, just kind of in a trading range. Really, it's the energy markets that are more of the big high flyers. Going forward, I would use these dips to still buy call spreads and sell put spreads to eventually sell into. We are getting close to where we may want to start hedging some new crop, but it's hard. I think what we're seeing here is the very big pullback that especially wheat deserves, and maybe even crude, and some of the other markets to a certain extent, from the massive short covering and repricing risk for the Ukraine-Russia situation. What we haven't really started to pay attention to, or I don't think so, is these weather issues that are coming. So it's going to be hard. As I've always said, you know, the most difficult marketing year is to make decisions is usually where you have the highest prices. So, you know, that's the rub. You get the high prices, but the degree of difficulty, you know, like Olympic diving, you know, the degree of difficulty, you know, really goes up, but you can score a lot higher, right? So kind of the same thing here when you get the tight stocks and the weather markets and what we're seeing. If you need something, let me know. If you are a client, feel free to give my cell phone a call or text me when I'm traveling, especially now with the way these markets are. So, you're not bothering me. I'm just on the road working. So give my cell phone a call if you need me. Otherwise, someone will be at the desk to help you out. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. And also, at the end of this podcast, we have an interview with Cassie Adolph of StoneX, and she talks a little bit more about the Farm Advantage app. Definitely stick around. Check that out, and I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks very much. All right, everyone, we're back at Turner's Take Podcast. I am down in New Orleans for the Commodity Classic. I'm here with Cassie Adolph. She is a bigwig, a senior VP with StoneX, and we're going to talk a little bit about our Farm Advantage app. But first, Cassie, can you introduce yourself and let us know what you've been doing?
Yeah, Craig. So Cassie Adolph here, work on the Chicago team and in the Chicago office right by the Board of Trade, and worked at StoneX for the last 12 years building models for commercial and industrial customers, a lot of Fortune 500 customers, basically helping them manage and hedge their commodity price risk. I've had the ability to work with kind of all entities along the farm to fork food chain, and the model that we usually provide has to do with advisory services, has to do with hedge strategies, market intelligence in combination with technology and software. And we're really excited because we're taking that same kind of structure that we apply to these institutional clients right to the farm gate with our new app.
All right, that sounds great. So as many of you know, I used to be with Daniels Trading, and Daniels Trading was part of Gain Capital, and you know, Top Third was part of that too. And when we came over to StoneX, that was a lot of farmer accounts coming over, which is a little bit different with that StoneX was used to dealing with. And one thing we really, you know, would have liked and we asked for, we get was a phone app, you know, that could bring that technology and the tools you're talking about that you, and those strategies and that expertise that you're dealing with on the commercial side, and hopefully bridge that with our farmer clients. So here we've got the Farm Advantage app, and
it's been a big hit down here. I mean, people have been coming on. I think we're the most popular booth at Commodity Classic, just looking at the foot traffic. Can you give us a little tour here of the application?
Yeah, so Farm Advantage. So we are looking to empower farmers with all the tools they need at their fingertips to make the most informed market decisions and make the most informed decisions around their price risk management. So this is for row crop farmers, this is for dairy and livestock producers as well. And it's, if they want to look at market quotes, they have that right at their fingertips. If they want to check out cash bids, that's right there for them. They can access market intelligence, our commentary. So Turner's Take is on the app, right in the palm of your hand as you're in the combine or on the tractor. Arlen Suderman, our chief commodities economist, his commentary is featured in the app for free. So those are the types of things you can look at in the app. We have a couple extra things as well to kind of just get you in there on a daily basis and provide you extra value, like weather provided by BAMWX. So it's really this holistic kind of look at markets with a couple extra perks that you have in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, I was given some demos of it today, and you know the weather and the cash bid, you just put in your zip code,
yep,
and it brings up not just the weather, which I believe is BAM,
yep,
weather,
BAMWX,
which is very popular among farmers, and the cash bid function of just putting in your zip code and having all those cash bids come up automatically, I was very impressed with.
And being able to call the elevator right there from the phone. Their number's in there. You click one button and you're on the phone with the elevator. So it's that seamless.
It is awesome. I enjoy it. And it's always nice to bring up quotes and see research, right? And if you're not a client here, it's a free app and anyone can download it and access it. And if you are a client here at StoneX, you can use your StoneX ID and password, bring up your positions, your statements.
Yeah, that's exactly it. For clients of StoneX, they can go in and look at their trading account, right? So they can access, like you said, Craig, their statements, their positions, their balances, all at the palm of their hand. I feel like that is something that they want on the go. They talk to their broker, they execute a trade, they look in there in 20 minutes, they want to make sure that trade's in the account. So provides that extra value to StoneX customers.
Yeah, it's been very popular. You know, this just rolled out recently, and I've had some clients get on there. It's had rave reviews. So if someone wants to download this, where would they go?
Very easy. Go to farmadvantage.com. There's the links to both the Google Play Store and the Apple Store as well. So it's really quick to set up your account and get on in.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much, Cassie. This has been great. I got to tell everyone here, I really think this is the most popular product going on right now in Commodity Classic. Everyone's going to like it. Check it out whenever you can. And again, it's farmadvantage.com.
Farmadvantage.com.
All right. Thanks very much, Cassie.
Thanks, Craig.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.